Chapter 31. The pirate captain did not die immediately. He lingered for 3 or 4 days, now and then unconscious, now and then semi-conscious, but always deliriously wandering. All the while he thus lay dying, the mulatto woman, with whom he lived in this part of his extraordinary dual existence, nursed and cared for him with such rude attentions as the surroundings afforded. In the wanderings of his mind the same duality of life followed him. Now and then he would appear the calm, sober, self-contained, well-ordered member of a peaceful society that his friends in his faraway home knew him to be. At other times the nether part of his nature would leap up into life like a wild beast, furious and gnashing. At the one time he talked evenly and clearly of peaceful things. At the other time he blasphemed and hooted with fury. Several times Mainwaring, though racked by his own wounds, sat beside the dying man through the silent watches of the tropical nights. Oftentimes upon these occasions as he looked at the thin, lean face babbling and talking so aimlessly, he wondered what it all meant. Could it have been madness? Madness in which the separate entities of good and bad each had, in its turn, a perfect and distinct existence. He chose to think that this was the case. Who, within his inner consciousness, does not feel that same feral, savage man struggling against the stern, adamantine bonds of morality and decorum? Were those bonds burst asunder, as it was with this man, might not the wild beast rush forth, as it had rushed forth in him, to rend and to tear? Such were the questions that Mainwaring asked himself. And how had it all come about? By what easy gradations had the respectable Quaker skipper descended from the decorum of his home life, step by step, into such a gulf of iniquity? Many such thoughts passed through Mainwaring's mind, and he pondered them through the still reaches of the tropical nights, while he sat watching the pirate captain struggle out of the world he had so long burdened. At last the poor wretch died, and the earth was well quit of one of its torments. A systematic search was made through the island for the scattered crew, but none was captured. Either there were some secret hiding places upon the island, which was not very likely, or else they had escaped in boats hidden somewhere among the tropical foliage. At any rate they were gone. Nor, search as he would, could Mainwaring find a trace of any of the pirate treasure. After the pirate's death, and under close questioning, the weeping mulatto woman so far broke down, as to confess in broken English, that Captain Scarfield had taken a quantity of silver money aboard his vessel, but either she was mistaken, or else the pirates had taken it thence again, and had hidden it somewhere else. Nor would the treasure ever have been found, but for a most fortuitous accident. Mainwaring had given orders that the Eliza Cooper was to be burned, and a party was detailed to carry the order into execution. At this the cook of the Yankee came petitioning for some of the Wilmington and Brandywin flour to make some plum duff upon the morrow, and Mainwaring granted his request in so far that he ordered one of the men to knock open one of the barrels of flour and to supply the cook's demands. The crew detailed to execute this modest order in connection with the destruction of the pirate vessel had not been gone a quarter of an hour when word came back that the hidden treasure had been found. Mainwaring hurried aboard the Eliza Cooper, and there in the midst of the open flour barrel he beheld a great quantity of silver coin buried in, and partly covered by the white meal. A systematic search was now made. One by one the flour barrels were heaved up from below, and burst open on the deck and their contents searched, and if nothing but the meal was found it was swept overboard. The breeze was whitened with clouds of flour, and the white meal covered the surface of the ocean 4 yards around. In all, upward of $150,000 was found concealed beneath the innocent flour and meal. It was no wonder the pirate captain was so successful, when he could upon an instant's notice transform himself from a wolf of the ocean to a peaceful Quaker trader selling flour to the hungry towns and settlements among the scattered islands of the West Indies, and so carrying his bloody treasure safely into his quiet northern home. In concluding this part of the narrative, it may be added that a white strip of canvas painted black was discovered in the hold of the Eliza Cooper. Upon it, in great white letters, was painted the name, the Bloodhound. Undoubtedly this was used upon occasions to cover the real and peaceful title of the trading schooner, just as its captain had, in reverse, covered his sanguine and cruel life by a thin sheet of morality and respectability. This is the true story of the death of Captain Jack Scarfield. The Newburyport chapbook, of which I have already spoken, speaks only of how the pirate disguised himself upon the ocean as a Quaker trader. Nor is it likely that anyone ever identified Eleazar Cooper with the pirate, for only Mainwaring of all the crew of the Yankee was exactly aware of the true identity of Captain Scarfield. All that was ever known to the world was that Eleazar Cooper had been killed in a fight with the pirates. In a little less than a year, Mainwaring was married to Lucinda Fairbanks. As to Eleazar Cooper's fortune, which eventually came into the possession of Mainwaring through his wife, it was many times a subject of speculation to the lieutenant how it had been earned. There were times when he felt well assured that a part of it at least was the fruit of piracy, but it was entirely impossible to guess how much more was the result of legitimate trading. For a little time it seemed to Mainwaring that he should give it all up. But this was at once so impracticable, and so quixotic, that he presently abandoned it, and in time his qualms and misdoubts faded away, and he settled himself down to enjoy that which had come to him through his marriage. In time the Mainwarings removed to New York, and ultimately the fortune that the pirate Scarfield had left behind him was used in part to found the great shipping house of Mainwaring and Bigot, whose famous transatlantic packet ships were in their time the admiration of the whole world. End of the Project Gutenberg e-text of Howard Pyle's Book of Pirates. The Book of Pirates.